You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. How did we already get through 1 hour? What happened, Curtis? What happened? A couple Laker topics, couple phone calls. Taylen Horn Tucker, we're already an hour through.
I feel like I've done like 5 minutes of work. No joke.
I have too much notes here that I took to fit this all in an hour. All right, Curtis, pull some strings. I know you know some people out there. Okay, we got our top NBA stories here. Curtis, by the way, I mentioned this and I took a couple calls on it. Taylen Horton Tucker, Kyle Kuzma, if you're comparing the two, just kind of looking at the future for both these players, which player would you put more stock into?
You know, fundamentally, I think Kuz, but I think THT is kind of like everyone's just kind of behind him because it's that fresh new thing kind of thing. You know, we've had Kuzma a couple years, and mm-hmm. Kuz was that before. So I think it's
You think it's the flashy new toy.
Yeah, that one, his preseason alone, that was pretty crazy. But
I tell you what, I could see how, you know, and that's a smart way of looking at it. Is this just kind of, oh, well, it's a new car, right? And all of a sudden everybody likes the hot new car, whatever the case is. I think there's more to it. I really do. I just watching this kid play, kind of special at this young of an age. I mean, he gets to the basket, no problem. He's going to make mistakes, but just his instincts on the court are so nice. And Kuzma can put up 30 points, no question about it. He can do that on any given night. But, man, what a nice position to be in for the Lakers where you got, you know, your veterans, your LeBrons, everything else, but then you also got some young players, too, that you can build off of. Okay, top NBA stories. Here we go. Did you see this a couple days ago, Curtis? Did you see that Derrick Rose was traded from the Pistons to the New York Knicks? Dennis Smith Jr., plus the Hornets' 2021 second-round pick goes to the Detroit Pistons. So basically, the New York Knicks, who are trying to stay relevant and keep themselves in a position to make the playoffs, which, by the way, they're in the playoff pictures. I'm going to look at the standings right now, but I think they're literally sitting at the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference right now. Here's my question to you. Is it good for the NBA that the New York Knicks are part of the postseason, the market of the New York, market of New York and the Knicks? Do you think it's good that they're in the playoffs, or do you think those days aren't that important anymore?
Well, I think the NBA loves it if New York and LA and Boston are in there every year, for sure, for the product. But personally, it's like, you know, this is probably the best news for the Knicks in a while. I mean, James Dolan does everything he possibly can to make them look bad. So this is
probably he's really good at that. Really good at that.
He's a professional at it.
He's worth billions of dollars. His team is the most valuable team in the NBA. Yet what he cannot do in the form of competition is actually have his team compete for anything remotely close to a championship. So real quick, my thoughts here. All right. Derrick Rose. I'm a fan of Derrick Rose. Like, I'm a fan of him. I'm a fan of his story. So just the fact that, I mean, listen, would it have been better off if Derrick Rose ended up on Philly, if he ended up with the Milwaukee Bucks or the Brooklyn Nets or the Boston Celtics? I mean, a team that actually has a legitimate chance of competing in the Eastern Conference? Yeah, probably. But I think just Derrick Rose being in that playoff mix, that's good for him. Knicks are actually sitting in ninth place right now. They're 11-15. So what the Knicks are going to try to do is hold on to, you know, a playoff picture. I don't know if Derrick Rose is going to be the answer. Toronto just passed them. Miami's behind them, and they're just starting to get healthy with Jimmy Butler back. So I'm not sure that that's going to be, the answer for them. But I'll tell you this. As somebody who loves the NBA, I can care less whether the New York Knicks are in the playoffs or they're not. It means nothing to me. Because unless they got stars that we want to watch, unless they're competing for a championship, it's kind of irrelevant. The only matchup that I'd be interested in if the Knicks got in, if it's Knicks-Brooklyn in the first round, right? Like, that would have some storylines to it. But you know who I'd much rather see in the postseason? And I think there used to be this thought process that the big market has to be in the postseason. The big market has to be in the playoffs. It's good when big market teams are in. I don't think it matters as much. I really don't. I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder were incredibly popular when Kevin Durant was there and they were balling out. And I'm going to give you another example. Do you know who a lot of the NBA is talking about? A lot of the NBA is talking about LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball is in Charlotte. Charlotte's in at 12-13. They're in sixth place in the Eastern Conference. I will take that Charlotte market 10 times out of 10 to make the playoffs than the New York market with the New York Knicks. And I'm not saying that to be stubborn. What I'm saying is it's a stars league. I want to watch LaMelo Ball. I don't need to watch Austin Rivers and Derrick Rose on the New York Knicks. So I don't think the market really matters anymore. This is going to go right into my next NBA story. So Michael Thompson, I know I reference Michael a lot, but I'm doing the pregame show with Michael all the time here. We're talking about two-time NBA champion, played with Magic. Played with Kareem, played against the Robert Parrishes, the Larry Birds, the Kevin McHales. I mean, a lot of these conversations, it's incredible talking to MT on it. But one thing Michael Thompson told me when we were just getting started, he was like, watch out for LaMelo Ball. I'm like, really? He's like, yes, LaMelo Ball is going to be a player in this league. And the last couple of games, and just seeing the start that LaMelo Ball's got off to, last night, 24 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, hit 7 threes. His average on the season, 14-6-6. That's a great freaking average for a rookie in the NBA, and he's doing more than just score, doing more than just passing. He's kind of a, you know, obviously a threat here. I want to play something from Kendrick Perkins. So Kendrick Perkins was on The Jump earlier today. He's talking about LaMelo Ball. Now, he's got a pretty hefty comparison here, and I don't think we want too many of these comparisons, but take a listen to Kendrick Perkins.
Look, Rachel, listen, you know I was saying on draft night that the New York Knicks needed to grab this kid. He was a superstar in the making, and he is showing that right now. But look, when you look at this guy, it's about time that the head coach gave him the keys to the car because he's been ready for this moment. He is showtime. He possibly has the potential to be the face of the NBA in a couple of years. He is a baby Magic Johnson in the making. I cannot wait for fans to all the way be able to come back to arenas because it is going to be sellout crowds down there in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's everything that I thought and more, and he is just flat out box off.
A little surprise there. I mean, I don't know about the baby Magic Johnson comparison, but I get it. Somebody that fills up the stat line, somebody that has a little bit of showtime in him in the sense that beautiful passer. I mean, I remember watching some of his highlights. I don't know if it was early in the season, preseason, whatever the case is, throwing some dimes on the fast break. I look at LaMelo Ball, and I look at what the Charlotte Hornets are trying to build and certainly everything around their young players. That's an up-and-coming, exciting team. And Curtis, when I look at franchises like the New York Knicks, I don't think market matters as much anymore. I think it's just about the stars. You could be a star in a small market and be a star. We know that. And LaMelo Ball has got a good opportunity to, you know, obviously be a star. Who passed on him? Minnesota passed on him. Who was number two? Oh, the Warriors passed on him. That's right, the Warriors passed on him. They took James Wiseman. Okay, another NBA story I want to get into. Curtis, I'm going to need your thoughts on this one, okay?
All right.
By the way, quick reminder here. Lakers talk on 710 ESPN. Powered by Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. By the time I finish this segment, you could have went and got an oil change. 15 minutes. Right around 15 minutes. That's all it takes. Appreciate their sponsorship of the show. So Steph Curry, on Saturday night against the Dallas Mavericks, dropped 57, had 11 three-pointers. Steph has 16 games with 10 or more threes. Okay, think about that. He has 16 games with 10 or more threes. Curtis, who do you think is the other player who's in the league right now, how many threes they or how many games they have of 10 or more threes.
Jeez, that's hard to think of. I'm trying to think right now.
How about this? How many do you think? So Steph has 16 of them. What do you think second is? How many? What? You don't even have to name me the player, but how many games does that player have more than 10 threes? What do you think it is? Steph has 16.
Like 9 or 10.
So Klay Thompson is second with 5. So Steph Curry has...
That's a huge gap.
Steph Curry has tripled what the... And I was listening to John and Michael talk about this on the broadcast on Saturday, and John was just laughing. John is just like, I can't believe that, right? So I'm looking here, and I don't know if you know who has the most three-pointers in one game. Do you know who has the most three-pointers in one game?
No.
Okay, Klay has the most three-pointers in one game.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that game. That one blew up.
14. He's got 14. He had 10 in the first half. Michael and I, in the pregame show, were talking about this. It's kind of funny just to kind of think of his thought process here. He's like, yeah, he had 14. And I'm like, Michael, why do you say it like that? What do you mean he had... Like, why do you brush it off like he had 14? He's like, well, listen, he had 10 in the first half. He started 13 of 18. I think he ended up 14 of 24. And he's like, I really thought he'd get to 16 or 17. And he said if he got to 16 or 17 or maybe 18 at the most, he thought that record would never be broken. But now he thinks that record is vulnerable, a guy like Steph Curry or Bradley Beal or something along those lines. What do you think? You think somebody gets... Think somebody gets past that 14 threshold? Do you think Steph in these next couple of years gets past that 14 threshold? You know how insane that is to have 14 threes in a game?
Hey, man, our boy LaMelo had 7 the other night in his first year.
Mm-hmm.
Don't never say never, because the second we think that's impossible, someone comes up and blows through it.
Maybe Michael Thompson is right. But it is funny listening to Michael, explain the story. His son holds the record for most three-pointers in a game. And the way Michael Thompson just brushed it off, like, 14.
You know, if Klay was healthy too, I think he'd have a lot more.
You're right.
Than those 5 games as well that we were just talking
he'd
about.
Probably be up to 8 or 9
he's had,
or something.
You know, at least a good year and a half of not playing at all, like 365 days. Like
Well, Klay is one of those players too. There are nights when he goes, just get the hell out of the way. And one thing, I respect what the Warriors used to do back in the days. When a player was hot, it was not like, well, I'm going to get mine, right? It was, no, feed. The game that Klay got his 14 three-pointers, he broke Steph's record of 13. You know who was feeding him for all those passes? It was Steph. You know, there's kind of a beauty of, you don't see that all the time in sports where people are so selfless. That team certainly was back in the days. Okay, I got another one here. I don't know what's going to happen here with the All-Star game. I'm still kind of figuring this out. It's gone quiet here since LeBron James pretty much said, hey, what are we doing? You guys told us that we're not going to have an All-Star game. I'm kind of waiting to get more information here. I think this is one of the first times where I feel like the players' union was negotiating without the consent of the NBA's best players. You know what I mean? Like, to have LeBron James say, what are we doing? Followed by Giannis saying, well, LeBron's the best player in the world. We should follow his lead. He's the king. He runs this league. There's a quote from Kawhi Leonard that says, we all know why we're playing it. It's money on the line. It's an opportunity to make more money. Just putting money over health right now, pretty much. I don't know what's going to happen here. I really don't. My gut would tell me that the NBA, whether the players like it or not, they're going to have an All-Star game on March 7th in Atlanta. But I'm with the players on this, to be honest with you. If the conversation had already been had about not having this, and the one thing that just sticks out to me, Curtis, how did Chris Paul and the Michelle Roberts and the Players Association, why didn't you make sure that you had the All-Stars consent to do this? Why didn't you work this in a way where you didn't get such bad PR from a player's perspective? You know what I'm talking about? Like, no matter what happens, how are the all-stars of the NBA on such a different page than the players' union?
You know, to be fair, the fact that this is probably the first the first kind of questionable thing that's happened in this coronavirus era.
You're right. We're not accustomed to it because the NBA has been so great, right? Adam Silver, and all we do is compliment the league.
My guess is that they, for a long time, thought it wasn't possible and somehow last second thought, oh, there's a chance, and you know that just means more money for them. You know that I think money's the factor for a lot of
money,
things.
Money definitely driver. By the way, this was, you know, something to keep in mind. We remember when the NBA was trying to come up with when the season was going to start, and first it was January 18th, it was Martin Luther King Day, and then the other option was December 22nd. And you know who won that conversation? Money. Money won that dialogue.
That's why I'm not surprised that it was
so
kind of done.
The All-Star game may win this conversation as well, because if it's additional revenue for a league that's obviously their financial and everybody's business has been affected, unless you're, I don't know, Amazon or a grocery store, everybody's business has been affected by COVID-19. So we'll see how that one plays out. Okay, Curtis, I know I'm way over time, but I got one more. Just one more, okay? Kevin Garnett was interviewed by the New York Times. I'm going to read off part of this quote. He says, "I don't think guys from 20 years ago can play in this game. 20 years ago, guys used their hands to control players. Now you can't use your hands. That makes defense damn near impossible. Can you imagine not hand-checking Michael Jordan? The fact that you can't touch players gives the offensive players so much flexibility." Goes on to say, "Steph Curry revolutionized things with being able to shoot it from distance with such consistency. Klay Thompson, Dame Lillard, these guards changed the game. I don't know if even the guards from 20 or 30 years ago could play in this time right here. It's creative, it's competitive, it's saucy. You'll get dropped. The game is in a great place." Tell you what, KG is as competitive, and we're just going through some of these different top NBA stories right now. I appreciate you guys tuning into Lakers Talk. KG is as competitive as they come. Actually, one of the guys I respect in the NBA, just watching over the years. Man, I couldn't disagree with him more. What is he talking about? You don't think players from 20, 30 years ago, the Isaiah Thomases of the world, the, you know, of course, Michael Jordan, the Magic Johnsons, keep going down the list, the Mark Jacksons, just trying to think of players, you know, over that course of time, that era, the Reggie Millers, you don't think they're going to find a way to adjust in today's NBA? I get the whole, all right, there's no hand checking and defense is much tougher. They will adjust to the NBA. These are some of the greatest to ever play the game, the Gary Paytons of the world. I'm actually surprised KG said that. I would think Kevin Garnett would have the mindset of, you put that old generation up against any generation, they're going to compete. What do you think, Curtis? That surprised you a little bit coming from KG?
No, because that seems to happen with everything. You know, their generation was always tougher than the newest one. But I agree with him in the fact that they wouldn't be able to compete, because I think they'd get shots pulled up in their face and couldn't keep up. Not for the reasons he's talking about. I think they'd be stubborn and couldn't keep up to the way the game is now, because it's totally different.
Well, I will say, I mean, isn't it fair to say that those guys would have, if they came up in today's NBA, they would adjust their game too. So players that were incredibly athletic, incredibly skilled, will have a three-point jumper. I mean, that's almost as if saying that Hakeem Olajuwon would not be able to play in today's game because the big man is not as dependent on. No, Hakeem Olajuwon would find a way to still be a force, or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or something along those lines. Okay,
get off my lawn to me.
We're way over way over time here. Stay right here. When we come back, two things I want to do. I want to look at Anthony Davis's numbers. I want to compare him from last year to this year, and I think Marc Gasol's lack of play is being blown out of proportion. I'll tell you what I mean about that. Billy Mack, Bill McDonald, coming up at 8:30. You're listening to Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
How about LBJ last night? How ridiculous is LeBron James? He's a video game. The dude's a video game. 28, 14, and 12, two steals, two block shots, 43 minutes. Game before that, he goes 48 or 46 minutes. Not ideal. Don't get me wrong, it's not ideal, but the dude is literally a video game. He's 36 years old. I go jog to the restroom right now, I pull a hamstring, and I got to stretch for 6 minutes, okay? And here's LeBron James doing it against young elite players in the entire world doing what he does. All right, real quick, I want to get into Anthony Davis. By the way, when we're done with tonight's show at 9 o'clock, I'll do a social show on ESPN Los Angeles, so we'll keep this conversation going and just continue to talk Lakers basketball. If you missed any part of this show tonight, by the way, can I just say something real quick? Laker fans out there, appreciate you guys going back and getting on the Lakers Talk podcast. So on the ESPN app or on iTunes, if you ever want to go back and listen to the show, Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. We get great freaking downloads every show, and I put all the post-game shows on there as well, and that's much appreciated. But Talenhorn Tucker, that full interview will be there. What a good kid. 10 minutes long or so, and good to kind of get a little more in-depth with him. Sometimes these conversations, when you're in some of these media Zoom calls, you get a question in, and that's it. This a little bit more intimate, a little bit more one-on-one. So AD's numbers last year versus this year. Anthony Davis, 26 points last season. His point average now is down to 22. 9.3 rebounds last season, down to 8.6 this year, and then blocks 2.3 to 1.9. So all those are down from last year. How cautious should the Lakers be on Anthony Davis? I think this is just a very simple answer. All you care about is if AD and LeBron are ready for the playoffs. That's it. Isn't that kind of the goal of the regular season? Just get through the regular season, get into some kind of a rhythm, and make sure those two players are ready to go by the time May comes around. Should you have some concern that Anthony Davis is that his numbers are down from last year? I'll tell you why I'm not that concerned. I'm not that concerned because you knew you had more scoring punch coming in this year. Aren't we supposed to have the deepest team in the NBA? Isn't the addition of Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell, aren't these two players supposed to take away from some of the workload on a night-in, night-out basis for LeBron and Anthony Davis? Maybe for Anthony Davis, because LeBron has not slowed down a bit. Isn't Kuzma supposed to develop a little bit more? Isn't Wesley Matthews supposed to give you some type of a scoring punch? Isn't KCP supposed to continue to develop in the NBA and kind of play a perfect role for the Lakers? So I'm not too surprised that Anthony Davis's numbers are down in some of those categories. The one thing I will say about AD, the one stat that I hate looking at when that number is low for Anthony Davis, shot attempts. When the dude gets 8 to 10 shots a game or something along those lines, or 12 shots, even 14 shots, I'm like, how is this guy only taking that many shots? This is Anthony Davis. AD's got to be taking 20-plus shots a game. He has to. If he's not taking 20-plus shots a game, the other team defensively are thinking to themselves, I don't know what happened. We just got a prayer from God that Anthony Davis didn't take more than 20 shots, because that's the only chance that they have of slowing down Anthony Davis. Maybe some of that is some of these injuries, or he's being more cautious. Maybe he's pacing himself. I'm not too worried about Anthony Davis when it comes to his production, because I know this. Come playoffs, come postseason, AD is AD. I mean, hell, I walked into this year, if you guys remember, I was shouting that I wanted Anthony Davis to be the one that we're talking about for MVP, not LeBron James. I wanted LeBron to be the one that kind of takes a little bit more strategic step back and says, okay, I got this a marathon here. I got to make sure that I'm ready to go by the time May comes around. I'll start getting into gear a little bit later in the season. It's been the opposite. Anthony Davis seems to be taking more of that approach. And it's LBJ that's the one that's still delivering every freaking night. If there's one thing that I get in the post-game show and the social shows and everything else, if there's one thing that I get on a continuous basis, I got a lot of Laker fans that definitely are not pleased with Marc Gasol. So I want to help Laker fans here for a quick second. I think Gasol's lack of play is being blown out of proportion. I might be on an island on this one, okay? Work with me here for a second. I don't think anything's really going to change as the season progresses. So I don't think, you know, his impact is going to go from what he's doing now, and then all of a sudden a month from now we're all going to be standing there saying, look at Gasol, look what he's done in the last month. I don't think it's going to change that significantly, all right? But I think that there's a couple things here. Maybe these are excuses. Maybe I'm making excuses for Marc Gasol, but I'm going to define this as best as I can. I think Montrezl Harrell definitely picks up some of the slack and is starting to play more minutes as the season progresses. But I think that if your perception of Marc Gasol was he was going to come to the Lakers and be Dwight Howard, you probably had the wrong perception. If your perception on Marc Gasol was he was going to come to the Lakers, give you 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists, your perception was probably wrong. Now, I'm not gonna deny that. I think it's fair to say, hey, I'm disappointed. I was hoping Gasol would do more, but I don't think that's going to be the difference of the Lakers winning a championship this year is going to fall on Marc Gasol's shoulders. Because as I kind of go from Anthony Davis and I go back to or I talk about Marc Gasol and I go back to AD, what it comes down to for the Lakers is AD is going to play the 5 in big time minutes. Montrez probably going to play the 4 in big time minutes. And then it's LeBron, and you figure out how to, you know, get these last two guys to shape up the rest of the roster. And what I'm referring to there is, okay, is it going to be Dennis Schroeder? Is it going to be KCP? Is it going to be Alex Caruso? Maybe Talen Horton-Tucker gets in at times. Maybe Wesley Matthews. But I think for the most part, there's not going to be this dependency on Marc Gasol on this Lakers team as the season progresses. So for those who are frustrated with some of the production from Marc Gasol, I will tell you, do not be that concerned, because I don't think anybody was walking into the season thinking Marc Gasol was going to carry the Lakers. I think it'd been nice if, you know, certainly his production was a little bit higher, a couple more points a game, a few more assists, a few more rebounds. But I think that if that's our expectation, we have the wrong expectation on Marc Gasol. And the only good thing I could tell you about that is Lakers are not depending on Marc Gasol, in my opinion, to be you know, this real producer come the postseason. That's at least how I view it to this point. Okay, coming up next, Billy Mack, Bill McDonald, who is the play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Lakers on Spectrum Sportsnet. I love the guy. Honestly, off the air, on the air, he is a good dude. He's coming up next. We'll continue to talk about this Lakers team. Actually, I'm curious. I'll get his thoughts on what he thinks Talen Horton-Tucker is going to be in the next 5 years. Is home court, is that a big deal for the Lakers, or should they be much more strategic in the regular season? Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got the man, the myth, the legend, Bill McDonald. Billy Mack, what's going on, Bill McDonald? How you doing, man?
Am I mostly a myth? It's probably a myth, I think, when you're doing all three of those. Always fun to be with you, my man. Hey, and by the way,
yes, sir.
It was good seeing you. It was good seeing you at Staples Center the other night. Where have you been? Where did you go?
Yeah, we had like a brief moment, a brief hello. So Billy Mack, I was giving back the headset and the microphone back to the broadcast part. So I'm kind of where you're sitting. I'm to your left. You could say behind one of the baskets up in that 100 section. So listen, if you ever look over to the left where the poor man's seats are, that's where I'm going to be. Nobody has prime time like you, Billy Mack.
Well, I'm glad you warned me, because now I will make sure that I don't look over there. So. But I don't understand why you don't have the regular seat that is behind us in our little glass cases of emotion, you know, our little plastic boots that we're all in. How come you're not sitting right behind us?
I think at the beginning of the season, we were trying to figure out what the COVID protocols is. And then I just never adjusted. I just stayed over there. I'm there with a wireless headset. And when John and Michael go to break, I do some updates, and I'm to the left of everybody.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And one more thing.
Yes, sir.
How's your pop culture education coming? How's that coming?
It's the best on the station. I mean, I don't know if anybody has as much knowledge on the pop culture world as I do, Billy Mack.
All right, let's talk hoop.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay, let's do this. Billy Mack, are the Lakers hitting a are they hitting a wall here? I mean, let me further explain what I'm referring to. Team doesn't have any issues. They're sitting at 19-6. But when you're a team coming off a championship and you're in this long grind of a 72-game season, and we know how short the offseason was for the Lakers, you think they're kind of hitting a wall mentally, getting prepared for some of these games against teams that are well below 500?
And I'm going to tell you that tell everybody that I listen to Sliwa every night on my way home. So I know exactly what you're talking about, because you address this each and every game. And, you know, you get these wins, and as you say, you'll take the win. They're ugly. You know, you're getting your best shot from every other team. It's not pretty, but at the end, you get a win. I don't think it's quite the dog days yet. I heard you talking about the dog days the other night. I don't think the dog days will come until after the All-Star break, if there even is an All-Star game. There probably will be. You know, probably coming this year in April at some point, because the season's going to end in May. I think they're hitting a mental wall. I think they're hitting a little bit of a physical wall. Of course, there's five guys that are in the rotation that weren't on the team last year.
Sure.
Or weren't there. So that's a little bit different. Maybe they aren't. But the crazy thing about it is, Alan, is, you know, look at LeBron. LeBron is playing every single freaking night, and he's playing heavy minutes, mm-hmm. and he's invested in it emotionally, physically. I mean, he's putting all the passion into it. It's just a marvel to watch. I wouldn't blame the dude if he took a night off, would you? One of these days, I know he hates to do it, but if he did it, I would almost say, hey, that's okay. I don't want him to, because I want to watch him, and it's entertainment. But he's set an example, not only for the team, but for the culture, something that exactly what Coach Frank Vogel said. And it's really a good example to follow.
No, but Billy Mack, it's a good point, because I do think there's probably a lot of Laker fans out there. They're just, you know, obviously everybody's thinking big picture, as is LeBron. LeBron has said this. He said when he plays in a game, that's one thing, but it's the it's what he does after a game. What he does in between games is where he's really getting his body prepared. But he played 43 minutes versus the Thunder yesterday, 46 minutes versus the Detroit Pistons. I mean, if the man takes a game off, two games off, I think every Laker fan would probably take a breath of fresh air themselves and say, okay, let the man rest.
Yeah, I think that's going to be okay. For the most part, it's like, come on, dude, you're getting paid and you're getting paid handsomely. Let's get out and play. I mean, AD is, you know, he's nicked up a little bit, but AD knows his body, and AD knows that he can't go every single game. It was the most refreshing thing probably ever. Stu talks about it all the time. That when AD signed his big contract, he said, hey, look, I've had a history of injury, so I want to get my money and make sure I have my money. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense, right? Can't blame the guy. I don't think that he's going to be glass from here out in. I think he's going to play a ton of games. But that's kind of the way AD's got to manage things throughout. So we kind of expect it with Anthony Davis, although I think he's going to play on Wednesday. I hope he plays with Wednesday. It certainly didn't look like it was that bad of an injury when he was shooting around before the game. But yeah, if LeBron takes a day off, look, they're deep enough. I know you talk about this all the time. They're deep enough that you can actually play other guys and sit guys at a time with this load management thing. I don't like load management, but it would be okay given the fact it was a 71-day turnaround or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You've got the championship, and big picture is exactly what you've got to do. And if there's going to be no fans, what does it matter if you're the first, second, third, or fourth seed? Again, what does it matter, right? And I don't think there's going to be full houses come playoff time. But just get in the playoffs, be one of the top couple of seeds, and I think you're good to go.
Bill McDonald, the voice of the Lakers on Spectrum Sportsnet, joined the Lakers talk. Billy Mack, that was one of the topics that we had earlier in the show. Home court, right? What does home court really mean this year? And I do think that, by the way, if there are certain teams, if the Jazz, for example, get 25% of their fans, and I don't know what the number is, right? I'm just speculating here. Right. By the time we get to that, right, that Denver, there are teams that I know home court would mean a ton to them. I look back in the old Laker days where Lakers and the Portland Trailblazers back in 2000 when that Game 7 was at Staples Center. Yeah, I don't know if Lakers win that game if it was at the Rose Garden, right? In 2010, Lakers-Celtics at Staples, Game 7. I don't know if they win that game if it's in Boston. But I think there's certain...
But then again, go back to the Shaq team. Game 7 in Sacramento, They went in there and they won that game. But I know what you're saying. Look, given fans or no fans, I'd rather be at my house. I'd rather be with my family. I would not be cooped up in a hotel room. You would much rather be at home. Okay? I mean, when it was in the bubble and it was in Orlando, that was neutral site for everybody. Mm-hmm. All right? That was literally neutral site for everybody. So I think having at least it for the – look, I'd like to be the number one seed. You would too. They would also. But I don't think they're going to break their back to try to get there. Do you? I don't think so.
Well, and this is Billy Mack. This is what I was going to reference. What I was going to say is –
Oh, go ahead.
And I was going to go to the Sacramento Kings as well. I think there's certain teams that it's a necessity to have home court. I think for the Lakers, it's a luxury. So I'm with you on this that I don't think it's make or break for the Lakers. If they don't have home court, do I think they could go into Utah or go, you know, obviously the Clippers, it doesn't even matter, or go into Milwaukee or Philadelphia and win a road game? Yes, I do believe that. So I'm with you. For the Lakers at this point, this stage where they are coming off a championship, all you should really care about is this team healthy and are they well rested going into the postseason? I personally don't care where they are in the standings because I think it's going to be irrelevant for the Lakers.
Well, and remember the last few games of the bubble when everybody was freaking out because nobody was shooting the basketball and the Lakers were playing bad. Mm-hmm. And Frank just said, we just have to be ready. It's going to be the exact same thing coming up for this season. But the bar is set, Alan, incredibly high.
Sure.
And Laker fans are so, they want to win every game. And if they don't win every game, it's like the sky's falling, right? And so it's one of those things where you want everybody to chill, but you can understand their passion that they want to win every game and they expect to win every game. Hey, it's the purple and gold. It's the Lakers. And I think the Lakers themselves expect to win every game. So it's a little dance that they're doing here and there. And where they stand tonight, second best record in the entire NBA.
Half a game out of the best record in the league.
Come on. Things are fine. Mm-hmm. Things are fine right now. Has it been a little drama filled the last couple of nights? Sure it has. And it's made for some fun finishes. And we'll see what happens tomorrow night when the rematch, we run it back tomorrow, OKC and the Lakers. And then, you know, there's a couple of big games coming up next week too, right? Portland in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun in Denver on Sunday on the rematch there. So next week's going to be a nice little, measuring stick on where they are, how healthy they are, where the mental state is. But again, I don't think they've hit a wall yet. If they're going to hit a wall, I think it might be a little bit later on.
Billy Mack, one of the bright young players for the Lakers. So Talen Horton-Tucker was nice enough to join the show earlier today. And
he's
great. By the way, you know, I think sometimes Billy Mack, a player like Talen Horton-Tucker, who, it's interesting. The guy hasn't even got a chance to play in front of a sold-out Staples Center crowd yet. You know, the THT he is today. So getting a chance to get his perspective on what's it going to be like when you have – I don't think he understands how popular he is amongst Laker fans yet because there has not been fans to kind of show him the appreciation of being just 20 years old and a contributor for the Lakers. But I'll get your thoughts on this real quick. What's THT? What's this player look like in 5 years from now? I just think there's such an uptick to what he's going to become. How do you view him?
I was going to ask you the exact same thing. I was going to use that great word ceiling. What's the ceiling? Can you go above it? What did Michael say? The roof is the ceiling, or the ceiling is the roof. I mean, I think it's pretty high. I think it's really high. He has shown enough. He's a sponge, as everybody says, when he's trying to learn physically. You know, he's got that build. He's got the long arms. He's got the moves. If his outside shot becomes, you know, super consistent, how are you going to stop him? Because if he can knock down the outside jump shot, the way he goes to the basket, and then he'll learn as far as dishing the basketball and making the right decisions. That's just game time and game management and being there minutes wise. I really like it. And, you know, it's a, who knows who's going to put an effort to get him as far as other teams or what the Lakers are going to try to do as far as keeping him, right? It's the whole manipulation of the salaries and the cap and the roster. And that's where Rob and Kurt and everybody else and Frank, man, those are going to be some big decisions.
Sure.
But do I want to see this guy on this team in 5 years? Absolutely. Because the eye test was out of sight during the preseason, and I think it's carried over beautifully. But you're right, you make a great point that he doesn't know how popular he is. It's funny, I think a lot of these guys are coming in, like the new guys are coming in, and I think they feel it even though it's a pandemic and there's no fans. You know, when you come to the Lakers and you're part of this organization, whether you're doing the pre and the post game show, whether you're playing, whether you work in the PR department, it's different, right? It's different. You feel it. I feel it. They feel it. And I just think it's going to be just so much fun for him when the fans do come back, because then it's really going to hit him hard that, man, I am a part of this organization and part of the purple and gold. Even though he does already have a ring, when the people are there to embrace him, it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I think of him checking in front of 20,000, you know, Laker fans that finally get a chance to show some love to THC. I know they have, and I'm sure they have on social and all that stuff. Billy Mack, do you miss traveling?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I know you, Michael, and John have talked about that a few times, quite a bit, and I know John relays a lot of stories. I miss Michael buying us dinner. Thank God, Michael. Thank you for buying us dinner. You know, he just did that for the last couple of years. But, you know, we rotate that check around. We really do. It's not just MT. I miss being with the fellas.
Yeah.
I miss seeing the players and the coaches. Mm-hmm. And we don't get a chance to talk to them, Alan, because they're in the red zone and we're in the yellow zone.
Right.
So we don't even get a chance to see them at home. It's crazy. In fact, I just ran into Kurt Rambis. He kind of wandered up towards our booth. I had not seen Kurt since the championship.
Wow.
So here I am. So I had to say congratulations, way to go, this, that, and everything else. You know, I've run into Rob a couple of different places. I saw Frank out by the tunnel when he was coming in once, in a random spotting. But it's tough, and you just miss being around the guys and just trying to get a feel for what's going on. But it's still fun being involved, right? I mean, you and I, this is the greatest job in the world, man. Come on. I mean, we're doing what we're doing, but I miss the road. You miss the bus rides. You miss the plane. You miss the late nights. You miss the Laker fans in the other arena. You miss sitting on the floor. I could go on and on and on. And so the short answer is absolutely I do.
Well,
yes.
I
know everybody.
I like listening to it because, you know, when Michael and John go through their stories, and Michael always says, yeah, just stay in the hotel. And, you know, Michael loves being at the hotel having the dinners. But the way they describe just going into other arenas and, you know, for example, we just played Atlanta. What was that? Maybe a week ago or so. And John was explaining on the air that there are more Laker fans in an Atlanta Hawks game than any other arena that you go to. And the way they're just describing back when Kobe played there, what it was like. And now, you know, of course, with LeBron James, those are the things that, you know, that adds that sports element that you cannot describe. It just is the feeling in the air. And hopefully, you know, those days of getting fans back into the arena and everything else is in the near future. But even with all that, it's been a great start to this season. I know even sitting at 19-6, like you mentioned, a half game from first place in the NBA, it's still, you know, like you mentioned, a privilege. So, Billy Mack, I appreciate you taking the time, coming on Lakers Talk as always, and just wave every once in a while. Just look to your left. I'll be over in...
Oh, maybe. I'll have to ask for permission from John or MT because they're right near me.
Sure.
Or maybe Stu. Stu, can I look at Alan? Can I say hi to Alan? And feel free to come by. And I want to say hi to the Lake Show fans, the Purple and Gold Nation, all you Laker fans. We miss you. I know everybody's on social, so we're all kind of together in that regard. You know, everybody's talking and everybody's enjoying it. But, you know, Stu and I... And I know John and Michael and Trudell and you and everybody else, the pre and the post game crews, You know, we feel them every single night. Mm-hmm. We really, really do. And we're up there doing it for you guys, you know, and that's what it is. I mean, we're enjoying it, and we're riding this championship, and let's do another one this year.
You're the man, Billy Mack. You're the man.
All right, buddy.
All right.
We'll talk soon.
All right. That's Billy McDonald right there. Billy Mack. Always appreciate him. I mean, he's got it's funny. He's been around, you know, obviously with the Lakers for a while now, but it's just interesting to kind of get other people's perspectives without fans in the arenas and everything else. And these guys were traveling every single game they were traveling. Michael, John, you know, obviously Stu Lance, Billy Mack. NBA, it's everyone's making the best of it, but of course, until fans come back, it will never be what it was. One more segment left. I want to go through the next five games for the Lakers. We'll give a little preview to Lakers versus Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow. A couple NBA scores around the NBA. Quick look at the NBA standings. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Lakers Talk, Alan Sliwa, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Lakers taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow. Chance to run their record to 20-6, 19-6 right now. What's going on in the NBA standings right now? Lakers at 19-6, Utah Jazz 19-5. Lakers a half game out of first place in the Western Conference and a half game out of first place in the entire NBA. Pick it up, Lakers. What are you guys doing? Second place in the West. Okay, so the I would say kind of the key for the Lakers, tomorrow you got the Oklahoma City Thunder. A couple things just stand out. Just be interested in the game. You know, I don't know how else to explain it. And I don't fault the Lakers. I really don't. I think this is just part of the grind of the season. I know I've mentioned this on the post-game show. We were talking a little bit earlier about it. How important is home court going to be this this playoffs? I really don't care where the Lakers end up in the standings. I really don't. You just care that they're healthy and they're playing good basketball at the right time, and then just take your chances from there. If Anthony Davis and LeBron James are feeling good coming into the postseason, does it really matter if the Utah Jazz have a better record than the Lakers? Does it really matter if the Los Angeles Clippers or the Milwaukee Bucks or the Philadelphia 76ers? I'm not saying it's not a threat. I'm not saying that maybe fans are coming back into the arena by the time we get to the postseason and by the time we get to the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. Maybe there's a percentage of fans that, look, it will make an impact. But this team reminds me more of that 2002 Lakers, where all you had to do was just get into the postseason, be healthy, and you'll take your chances, even if a Game 7 is on the road, like the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq and Ori and Rick Fox, Derek Fisher walked into Game 7 in Sacramento and took care of business. I think I still get nervous watching that game in overtime. Those were some pressure days for the Lakers. So next couple of games for the Lakers, you got OKC at home, then Memphis at home. After that, at Denver, at Minnesota, and then February 18th, the Brooklyn Nets come to Staples Center to take on the Los Angeles Lakers. By the way, a couple scores around the NBA. Celtics down to the Jazz, so it looks like the Jazz are going to get even a bigger, 79-69. So it looks like Jazz, if they do win that game, they'll have a full game advantage on the Lakers. If you missed any part of tonight's show, go back. Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Catch all full 2 hours. Talen Horton Tucker was nice enough to join the show. As always, we appreciate the Lakers public relations making time and bringing THT on the show. And just when I'm done with this, I'll get on with our social show to do our ESPN Los Angeles Lakers talk. We'll go for about a half hour on our ESPN platforms. Tomorrow, Lakers Thunder pregame show with myself and Michael Thompson starts at 5:30. Tip-off will be at 7 p.m. Laker fans, as always, we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in.